the Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke. In the 15th year of the regent of the Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip, ruler of the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, ruler of Abilene, during the high priest of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all of the region around the Jordan, proclaiming the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God." The Gospel of our Lord.
If today's Gospel were to be written in a contemporary setting, it might sound something like this. In the second year of the reign of President Trump and Vice President Pence, in the waning year of Governor Sandoval, when the people still thought of Billy Graham and Joel Osteen as the arbiters of civil religion in America, and in the year when once again Republicans, Democrats, and Independents couldn't exchange a civil word, the word of the Lord came to a little place in the high desert off the eastern Sierra Nevada range. One of the key parts of the Gospel of Luke that we miss when we're busy romanticizing these scenes. I mean, we do that around Christmas with the birth of the baby in a stable. You know, we make it all pretty and whatnot, and forget that these people are refugees of a war. We forget what that might have actually looked and felt like. I mean, go online and take a look at pictures of bombed out cities of Syria, and then find photos of refugee camps from around the Middle East. That's the picture that's being presented to us in the Gospel of Luke. Not these romanticized versions. And one of the major themes of the Gospel according to Luke is that the corridors of power do not serve God, but rather the corridors of power serve the corridors of power. And that the word of God does not come to the corridors of power, but rather to these offbeat places with these unimportant people who are fleeing for their lives, and their towns and their villages have been destroyed. The very center of their religious activity has been razed to the ground. The temple in Jerusalem is gone. And they are fending for their lives. And it's in that setting that the word of the Lord comes. And it's real easy for us, while we're romanticizing these stories, to forget that reality. the good news is that that God's ways are very strange. And they are not what we're always told. And so the challenge of this season, and certainly the challenge of the Gospel of Luke, and we're going to hear this more and more as the church's year unfolds. The challenge is not to be looking up, you know, in the high and lofty places for how God might be moving in and through creation and among humanity, but to be looking down low, way down low, to see how the Spirit of God might be moving among all the unimportant people who have been set aside by society and, for all intents and purposes, summarily ignored. Apparently, according to Luke's gospel, that's where the Spirit of God will be found. Well, we can look back on our own lives and perhaps identify all kinds of examples of how that works and how we're encountered by God and how you and I might partake of these strange ways of God. This past year, some of us have had quite a year with regard to the place of the Reverend Kim Morgan in our midst, and then once she was away from us. And a lot of questions have been raised. Some people, not many, have come to speak with me about the whole situation. And today, I want to give us an opportunity. So at the tail end of this sermon, if you will, is going to be an exercise where I invite you to think of a gift that you have received from God through the Reverend Kim Morgan, who most of you know has since passed away and has left us. But before we engage that exercise, I just want to preface it with a little bit of the story, if you will. Kim came to us years ago with great trepidation and a good deal of suspicion about not just organized religion in general, but about St. Peter's in particular. She had some prior history here at St. Peter's that was, shall we say, less than positive. And it was when her dad, Dick Morgan, died. And she came along with Victoria, at the time, Victoria Riley, now Victoria Warren, and the two of them sat in my office trying to suss me out and how we were going to pull this off with this deep and abiding suspicion of anything that smacked of organized religion. And we managed to muddle our way through that, so much so that both Kim and Victoria began to worship here at St. Peter's. They became members of this congregation, and then both of them experienced a call, a discernment to ordain ministry, and with the support of this congregation and the bishop and the commission on ministry, they entered into formation, education, and were eventually both ordained here at St. Peter's as priests of the church right about 10 years ago, I think. I mean, my chronology gets a little fuzzy. And And here's what a lot of you don't know, is the moment those two women were ordained priests of the church, they stopped being members of this parish, because priests and deacons are not members of parishes, canonically. And if you have any question about that, go talk to Shep Curtis. I mean, he and Joy are not here because they want to be, but because they've been told by the bishop that this is where they need to be, because Shep's a priest. He's not a member of a church. And so Victoria goes off. She begins to serve wonderfully St. John's in the wilderness up at Glenbrook, and through the consent of the bishop, and only by consent of the bishop, Kim was allowed to remain here at St. Peter's, and not as a member of this parish, but as my associate, my staff. And over the years, over that decade, amazing things happened. Those of you who recall the way in which the Episcopal church women blew up on us back then, and oddly enough, at the hands of her mother, Barbara Morgan. And out of the ashes of the ECW, Kim and women leaders in this congregation began to reform the ministries of this parish, and some amazing groups arose out of that. That are still alive and well today. I mean, Veronica made the announcement about Mary and Martha Gill, and we have three or four or more groups that now function and serve this congregation and feed this parish in all kinds of ways as a result of the efforts of the Reverend Kim Morgan. But one of the things that she and I would talk about on a regular basis was the difference between being a member of the parish and being staff. And I didn't know it at the time, but now looking back, I realize we never really crossed that bridge. I mean, and there was this sort of quiet confusion here at St. Peter's about her status, so much so that when she got really, really sick last November and simply couldn't function here, I mean, she couldn't even show up here, she did what any person, any member of the parish would have done if they had had the kinds of privacy needs that she had, and that was to simply vanish, just stop showing up. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, she stopped talking to us. She needed the privacy. She needed that space in order to heal. The problem was that she wasn't a member of the parish. She was a member of my staff. And I was left holding the bag, not quite knowing what to do. And so we, and those of you who have been involved in leadership here, you're aware of some of this stuff. For a couple of months, we just spun, not knowing what to do, trying to contact her, email, phone, nothing, hearing nothing. And finally, after the turn of the year, probably well into February, in conversation with the vestry, finally said, okay, not really sure what's going on here. We love her dearly. Don't know what to do, but we got to move on here. And so we ended up tendering her resignation in order to bring the Reverend Eric Heidecker on board to serve as our part-time supply. Now, I share this with you because for the last year, I've been hearing all kinds of stuff floating around this congregation, and stuff that I think would amount to consternation of one form or another. Why hasn't Kim come back? Why isn't this happening? And what happened was my staff bailed on me, and I needed to do something to take care of the congregation, and so I did. And in the meantime, she got sicker and sicker, and God bless her, she finally died with friends and family gathered around her. If you have an opportunity to hear the story, it is wonderful, the manner. I mean, if you can think of death as a wonderful thing, she had it. You know, she received the gift of a holy and blessed death. And so we continue in all kinds of ways. You and I continue to mourn her loss. And what I'd like to do today is to give you folks an opportunity to share a gift that you received from God through the Reverend Kim Morgan. And if Fiona, come on up. We're going to do a little exercise here. Take one of those. If somebody else is willing to help out. Bill, would you? Give everyone a little slip of paper and something to write with if they need it. Just go ahead and hand those out. And what I want to do is invite you folks to take a moment and think about a gift that you received from God through Kim Morgan. And I want to see if you can put that in a word or a phrase or an image if you're a visual person. And then write that down if you're willing. I mean, you don't have to do this if you don't want. And I realize that we have some people who are visiting here who didn't know Kim, and I apologize for the inconvenience of that, but it just seemed like a good time to be doing this shortly following her death. And to write that word or that phrase or that image down onto the piece of paper. I'll give you three options for sharing that word or phrase. One would be simply to offer it up silently between you and God. The second option is I'm going to come around with the microphone, and you can take the opportunity to share that word or phrase with the rest of the congregation. And then the third option would be also to place that little piece of paper in the offering plate as one of the many ways that we give all of the gifts that we receive in this life, we offer back to the Creator. And so we can do any one of those. Who'd like to I'm just going to wander around, and I'll give you the microphone. You don't have to stand or anything. Just
I actually put several words down. Quiet, serenity, kindness, and gentility.
Okay. Nice. Pat?
Prayer. Kim did not write the prayer. She compiled it as an attorney, so it was a prayer.
She was an attorney, indeed. Joan?
Gracious and giving back to God.
Lovely. Thank you. Donna, you want to?
Kim broadened my vision and understanding of God. Always inviting to think outside of human boxes about God.
outside the box.
Well, she gave me a poem and asked me to write a song.
Which you wrote. Yeah.
She taught me that holy crap is not to be used together.
Hey, this is some important stuff here. Bring it down to basics.
Helping me with prayers and love and hugs.
Okay. Fabulous.
Kim meant integrity to me, and I see her picture on the wall of distinction at the ledge. Invite everyone to go take a look at it.
Indeed. All righty. Jizzy.
Showing me grace is in my life.
Okay.
She helped open my heart.
There's a gift, huh? For me. Fiona?
She brought me down to earth.
Down to earth. Lovely. Hey, no? Let's do it. Good morning. Oh, sorry, Debbie. Walking right by here.
She encouraged the fellowship of the women in the church. She also was always encouraging us to close our eyes and to look within.
Okay. To look within.
Very eloquent when she spoke and incredibly organized.
Yeah, frighteningly organized almost, huh?
She brought me caring and, of all things, healing.
Healing.
Kind, kind, kind.
Kindness. David?
Nurturer and the feminine face of God.
Ah, the feminine face of God, indeed.
Warmth and kindness and friendship. Always.
Yeah.
Loving, caring, helpful, true Christian.
Okay. Thank you. We've been missing Kim terribly. She brought so much to this congregation, and we will continue to miss her and give thanks to God for the Reverend Kim Morgan. And as we've been saying and will continue to say, may her soul and the souls of all the departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. And continue to think about the strange and wonderful ways of God. Take a nice deep breath.